everything else down. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for pruning us in our hearts, God, and removing everything that's not of you and everything that you don't want us to hold, touch, taste, watch, do, all of that, God, because we only want you, Lord. We only need you. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for the word that's going to come forth, a word from you, Lord, an anointed word from an anointed vessel, your incredible, amazing daughter of God. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Prayer has been prayed. You may have your seats in the presence of the Most High God. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Young people, you are dismissed to go to your kids' corner and enjoy all the snacks and the festivities and fun. Leave some snacks for us, amen. Good to see the house kids and the Bernard children, grandchildren rather. To God be the glory for the great things he has done. Sister Jennifer, you know, I thank God that God has equipped this house with just what we need when we need it the most. And I saw the song list when you texted to me. And I know the song. But as soon as I heard that, with the nothing, I'm sitting at my desk just crying. And I mean, just because I said, okay, now how am I supposed to get up here? And because, you know, Pastor Warren was trying to be funny last week. He purposely timed himself. So I have to make sure that I either come close or beat him, because this is just the competition that we live in. Amen. But if not, it's all right. He can win this one, this round. But you all see the title. But I thank God, because the songs are just in line with, I know what God has been dealing. And, you know, the old songwriter said, Jesus is getting us ready for that great day. And it's the older I get, the more real that song becomes. He's getting us ready. He loves us so much. When he said, it's not my will that anyone should perish, but all come to repentance and have everlasting life, he means it. When he said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you would have life, and that more abundantly, he means that. We got to do the work. The finished work of salvation is already done. The work that we have to do is pursuing him. The work is laying down our will and saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. So the title is, you're out of Egypt. But is Egypt out of you? So we're going to look in Deuteronomy, and I'm just going to read this, Deuteronomy 31. I'm like many of you are going through your yearly Bible reading. I'm doing chronological this year just because, you know, I like to see how it ties together. And getting ready to be in Judges. I'm finishing up Joshua. But Deuteronomy had me in a chokehold. Numbers did too. I mean, listen, and if y'all know Camille really loves the Bible, yes, but that Old Testament, ooh, it's so good. They be fighting. Woo! It be some war. There's no way I could have made it back then. First of all the walking, please. Ain't nobody pick me up, no nothing. No trains, nothing, okay. But Deuteronomy 31, verses 16 through 21. Moses is getting ready to die. Joshua is getting ready to be anointed and appointed to be the one to take the children of Israel in. In Deuteronomy, it's literally the last writings of Moses as he has collected, and God has spent so much time with Moses. He explained to him what Genesis was all about and had him write it down. He helped him to even remember his own life and the narration in Exodus. Because if you read over in Exodus, Moses didn't know the story behind his story. Hallelujah. Only God can tell you your story behind your story. I was there coming out on May 24th, 1984, about 9-something in the morning. But I don't know what all took place. I was there, but I wasn't there. You follow me? I know. I heard about it. But if you read Exodus, God tells Moses about his mama Neil, about his sister. He tells the story. Moses wasn't aware enough to know that he was drawn from the water, that he was put in. He didn't. God told him that. So when you read over in, so you know that God has spent some time with Moses. So he takes him through Genesis. He takes him through Exodus. And he's remembering the accounts. And then here we go in Leviticus. He's given the law. And Leviticus sometimes can run people away because it's so much law, so much sacrifice, so much killing of this, so much. But you have to understand the ugliness of sin requires blood sacrifice. Because of sin, because of what took place in Genesis 3, that's why so many turtle doves didn't make it. That's why so many calves and billy goats, there had to be a sacrifice. So in Numbers, now Moses is talking in Numbers and more things have transpired and we're getting closer to the promised land, but people still cutting up. Just trying to give you some context to what we're going to get to. People was cutting up because why? We be people and we be cutting up. You ever wake up in a good mood and somehow before you even get down the stairs of your house or out the front door, you ain't in a good mood? What took place? But you have to understand, we live in a world, it's sin cursed, but we serve a sovereign God. And said, don't you get worried about this stuff. Don't you let what CNN and NBC and Fox News, you better keep your eyes on me. So in Numbers, you see people like Balaam, and you see all these different ones rising up trying to curse God's people. Because that's what the enemy going to do. He's going to always try to curse God's people. And the people, children of Israel in Numbers, was hanging around some folks, and they started murmuring and complaining. But God was still ever present, ever merciful. And so now when we get to Deuteronomy, Moses and Aaron, I do believe they had good intentions. But sometimes when you have good intentions, you can have poor execution. Moses understood that he was to be the spokesman for God. Aaron was going to articulate, but Moses had a direct line to God. And him and God spent a lot of time together, and God showed him things, even showed him his glory. And then you have it where Moses stood when the people were murmuring and complaining. They were crying out because they didn't have water. They didn't have this. They didn't have meat. They were murmuring, complaining, and somehow Moses, and Aaron, I think they had good intentions, but he smote the rock instead of speaking to it. And because of that, God told Moses, because you have disobeyed, you declined or denied my glory to be shown in front of my children. You didn't allow my holiness to be revealed is what the passage says. Because sometimes if we're not careful, we'll allow our anger rule us. And we'll say and do things that God hasn't called us to say and do. And then, but here's what happened. Aaron died before they even could see the promised land. At least Moses got to see it, but he didn't get to enter it. So it's kind of like, man, you go through all of this, and you come up short. Why? What's still holding us back? When God has brought us out, why are we still being held back? What is it? So here we are in Deuteronomy. Moses getting ready to die. The Lord said to Moses, you are about to die and join your ancestors. After you are gone, these people. You know, if you ever watched the movie Tropic Thunder, there's a character Robert Downey Jr. plays, and he's in a different, he's blackfacing, basically. Okay, he's impersonating a black man. And he was like, you know, these people. He said, what? And the other gentleman said, well, what do you mean, these people? Well, what you mean? Okay. It means something when God says these people. Now, remember, in Exodus 3, we're going to get to that in a minute, God says, I've heard the cries of my people. They were my people in Exodus 3. Deuteronomy 31, he said, these people. Have you ever made God mad like that? We have. Let's be honest. We've all have sinned and fallen short of his glory. But you know what's so great about it? When God does feel that way towards us, we have the advocate, Jesus Christ, saying, hey, Dad, I know. Trust me, they cutting up again. But my blood covers that. My blood covers their issues, their isms, and their schism. And aren't you grateful for the blood? He says, these people will begin to worship foreign gods and the gods of the land where they are going. They will abandon me and break my covenant that I have made with them. Then my anger will blaze forth against them. I will abandon them, hiding my face from them. And they will be devoured. Terrible trouble will come down on them on that day. And they will say, these disasters have come down on us because God is no longer among us. At that time, I will hide my face from them on account of all the evil they commit by worshiping other gods. So write down this song. You ever heard this? I wrote a song. You want to hear it? Here go. God was the first to do it. So write down the words of this song and teach it to the people of Israel. Help them to learn it so it may serve as a witness for me against them. There they will become prosperous, eat all the food that they want. Witness it for me against them, for I will bring them into the land that I swore to give their ancestors, a land flowing with milk and honey. There they will become prosperous, eat all the food they want, and become fat. But they will begin to worship other gods. They will despise me and break my covenant. And when great disasters come down on them, this song will stand as evidence against them. For it will never be forgotten by their descendants. I know the intentions of these people. Even now, before they have entered the land I swore to give them. God doesn't prophesy, he just speaks. Prophecy, preaching, is what we mortals do. God just speaks. He don't have to predict. He knows. Could you imagine? You do all that you can, and some of you can because you're parents. You've done all that you could and can for your kids. The best of your service. Now, remind you, you're mortal, so you're not perfect. You're not batting 1,000. You got errors every which way. We get it. But you did the best that you could do. And they still go against every word you said. They look at you like you foreign and don't know what you're talking about. Now, if you grew up in my household, there was going to be some furniture moving, some consequences and repercussions. We grew up in a day and age where my parents weren't afraid of me. These new age kids, I'm like, how y'all different? Your parents is afraid of you? You know, me and my dad, we still joke, but every now I know what he capable of. I know that. Okay. So it's important that we understand God is still capable, still able. Just because grounds haven't opened up like they did in Korah's rebellion in that mold, that manner of that time, doesn't mean he won't. Just because we haven't seen fire come down from heaven like it rained in Sodom and Gomorrah doesn't mean he won't. I think what happens is somehow between grace and mercy, we have thought that that's a sin, get out of free sin card. I can sin all that I want, but God will forgive me. Oh, but how you know you're going to live to ask for forgiveness? It's so much pride in the deceptive voice of the enemy. The enemy tells you got all kind of time. The enemy says, don't you, no, put that off. You don't have to do that. I tell my students, don't let procrastination win. Meanwhile, I got a pile of laundry I'm still working down. Work on me, Jesus. Right? But we have to understand that God is still the one. When we read over in Hebrews 13 and 8 that he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, it still stands. So Moses is getting ready to die. He got that message from the Lord. He understood. But he told him, before you go, teach this song to him. It's going to be one of my greatest hits. And I want them to understand that when all the things transpires, because I want them to remember they did just exactly what I said they would do. Now, what would make a children of Israel who were brought out of slavery, what would make you think that they would want to go there? So let's look at the question. What and who was in Egypt? That's one of the questions. What and who was in Egypt? Biblically, we know that there was a Pharaoh that rose up that did not know Joseph. We read that and we understand that over in Genesis, after Joseph has died and he was able to save and bring his family into Egypt during the famine, the Israelites, I believe there are about 87 of them that came down, and by the time it all got done, it was about almost a million, almost half a million of them that lived there. They just was populating. They didn't have TV, so you got to do something. But it was over in Egypt, Goshen, different places, enjoying themselves. But then there rose a Pharaoh who didn't know the goodness of Joseph, the kindness of his God, and he began to look at all of those folks. They seasoned their food real good. They clapping on the 2 and the 4. Wait a minute. I don't like the way they making bricks today. Take away their tools and resources and make them make bricks a different way. Began to oppress and depress. Became hard taskmasters. So when you understand that it wasn't just because the sight of them, it was, the scripture says, the Pharaoh said they were too numerous. They'll overrun us. You know what's so interesting about the enemy? The enemy will tell you what you think the worst could happen. He'll play in your mind if you let him. For all that Pharaoh know, they could have been the best joint affairs. They could have the greatest. But you know what pride will make you do? Somebody going to be better than you. You need to take them out, Mike. The enemy. We got to stop listening to the enemy. So if we look in Exodus 3, verses 7 through 10. Then the Lord told him, being Moses, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt. I just gave y'all the movie Ten Commandments in a nutshell. Y'all don't even have to watch Prince of Egypt. We got it today. God said that. what I shared with you all when we started in Deuteronomy, he's the same God. If we go back to Genesis 12, he tells Abram, before any of this even happens, what's going to take place. He told them they're going to be in Egypt for 400 years, but I'll bring them out. Because he don't prophesy, he speaks. He just tells it like it T.I. is. So if we know what was in Egypt back then, the question now goes to, go back to the question, baby. There you go. Who and what is in your Egypt? Who or what is in my Egypt? In our Egypt? What has God brought you out of? You ain't got to talk it out loud with them, because some things might be still pending cases, so we don't want to be liable. But what has God brought you out of? Maybe you were sick on your deathbed, or maybe getting ready to have surgery. And sometimes the doctor said, oh, it's going to be an easy, simple surgery. And you know, some people have not woken up from easy, simple surgeries. There's people who've been to dentist's office and didn't make it out. So maybe you weren't to the sick point of death like I've had. But maybe you got in a car accident. Or maybe you were in a bad relationship. Maybe you were in a good relationship that you wanted so, so bad, but it was bad because it didn't honor the Lord. But he brought you out. Or maybe you were going through a deep depression, anxiety, grief. You name it. What has been your Egypt that he's brought you out of? Have you ever felt oppressed? Have you been enslaved even in your own mind? Has the enemy allowed you to live your life in rewind on repeat? You so stuck. You know, God rest my uncle's soul. I love my Uncle Bernard. Yes, I do. And did while he lived. But you know, as a young girl, every time my uncle saw me, he wanted to tell me who Kermit was back then. You know your daddy did. Your daddy, you know, did your daddy ever tell you deal? He was stuck in rewind. He couldn't go forward. I feel for my uncle. Died at, I believe he was 69, getting ready to turn 70. Didn't even get to make it to 70. But he was stuck on rewind. All he knew, and it wasn't no glory days. It was before glory. But he was stuck. And I remember as a young girl, I might have been 9, maybe 10. We was in Oklahoma for the summers ever so often. Maybe every other year we went down there. I don't know. It gets fuzzy. But I'll never forget, we was down there. He was like, yeah, you know, and he had like a very Sling Blade-esque voice. If you ever watched the movie Sling Blade, that's how he sounded. Had always had a little cigarette hanging out on the side of his lip. This is before his eye really, I digress. But anywho, he was saying all this stuff about my daddy. My daddy. I said, but he might have been like that then, but he ain't like that now. Didn't even know what I meant. But here I am almost 41 and I can remember that. There's something on the inside of me said, no, you speak up for your daddy. That he ain't bound by the alcoholism that he used to be. You might have known him to be this and that, but that's not who he is, because he's saved by grace. No longer bound. No more chains holding him. His soul is resting, and it's just a blessing. He got saved in time because he knew Sandy needed the husband that she would need. He knew that God knew that the two girls that would be born of them would need a father who was saved and sanctified, who loved the Lord. So don't let your Egypt stop you from going into the promised land. Over in Numbers 11, I didn't give it to the tech team, so don't worry about it. But in Numbers 11, it says that the people begin to murmur and they begin to think about the good old days in Egypt. There was meat there. There was leeks and onions and garlic. And the people began to murmur and complain because they didn't have what they used to have. But do you remember in Egypt you were oppressed? You were hurting. You were one-third of a human being. You weren't even recognized, but you want to think about the seasoning salt? You weren't happy when you were with him. But now you was thinking about what he used to say to you when you laid in. Stop! Don't miss out on your promised land because you're stuck in Egypt. The enemy has a weird way of conforting and converting and contorting the truth of what happened. You can have people in abusive relationships, but they remember when they first went out somewhere and he opened the door, she opened the door. You know, because look, everybody suffering abuse ain't just by the man to the woman. It's vice versa. Everybody in bad relationships, it ain't just the husband's fault. It be everybody's fault. It's not just relationships. Sometimes your thinking is just bad. You keep thinking bad. All you see is what used to be. Oh, my God. But he wants us to be free. He wants us to enjoy the promises of his great name. It ain't nothing worse. You praying and asking God for your miracle. But you still got things that you holding on to from the past. Like keepsakes. You keep wearing the t-shirt of the pains of last years. So, if I was to give you a business tie for this, it's not on the board, nothing. This is just what I wrote. I used to teach Lean Six Sigma at Niagara Bottling. And the premise, when I learned it through my master's program, the premise is all my business folks in here, y'all aware, Lean Six Sigma likes to reduce waste and redundancies. So, for example, if you have 16 bottles of ketchup, why do you have 16 bottles of ketchup? But we're not going to talk about it, okay? But you got 16 bottles of ketchup in your pantry. 7 of them are expired. 8 of them, you don't even know where you got them from. They don't even look red no more. And you got, and all of them been opened just a little bit. And the one that's open that's usable ain't even in the refrigerator. Throw it out. That's my dad's, his plan to everything. Throw it out. Well, I don't really let him come over too much because I'm like, hold on. Your house is 12522. Leave me be now. But sometimes what will happen is we want to hold on. Oh, well, this bottle, you know what? I remember I got this bottle. It was on sale. And it was a 2. Yep, I had to keep that one. That means so much to me. But you ain't been in that part of the pantry to even look. You only know about it because I'm bringing it up, right? You follow me? So we got to reduce waste. Let me tell you what happens, what took place in Genesis. Go to the next one, sweetheart. In Genesis 19:26, we know the story about Sodom and Gomorrah. We know about Lot and his wife, right, and the kids. When God told Lot, get your family, get up out of here because I'm about to rain down judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. Get out. Run for it. Told him run for the hills, but Lot was like, I got bad knees. Can I go over here real quick? So he ran. And as they were running, the angel of the Lord kept telling him, don't you look back. Lot's wife looked back as she was following behind them, and she turned into pillar of salt. Let's be clear. It wasn't direct disobedience only that caused her to be a pillar of salt. Her heart, your emotions, your mind, your will, your desires, your heart. You know how we get in our feelings funk because we wore our heart on our sleeves? But if Jesus said, where your treasures are, that's where your heart will be. So she treasured something over there. They was nasty and full of sin, but she treasured over there. Now, to go down in infamy in the Word of God, and so many people have preached out of Genesis 19 and 26, to be known as the Pillar of Salt Lady, or Sister Salty, as my daddy calls it, all because your heart was there? Let's go. Let's wrap it up. Next slide. Pause right there. Are we pursuing the promised land? You know, the Word of God is your, heaven is the promised land. But the Word of God is filled with promises for the believer. But are we pursuing the promises of God in this land? While I'm on my way to glory, am I making sure my bags are light, that my mind is right, that I'm focused on what he's called me to be and to do? All right, let's wrap it up. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. This is how we are able to pursue. The first thing is to know, in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, he lets us know that we are to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, so we can run our race. That's the first. If you want to pursue the promised land, you got to throw aside everything that's holding you back. Sometimes you got to, when I say throw aside the who's holding you back, be very careful with how I say this and let the Holy Spirit speak to you, please. God will show you how to conclude successfully relationships and interactions and friendships. Sometimes they just taper off on themselves. They kind of like doze off, like, you know, when you're sleepy, or maybe even this message is doze off, okay? Some, you don't have to go through it. I'm cut, you know, everything don't have to be a declaration on Facebook. I'm cutting you off. First of all, how are we even still friends? I thought that was already dead. You see what I'm saying? I'm Hebrews 12. We want to make sure that we follow the Lord. We want to make sure we follow his leading. We want to make sure that we submit ourselves to him. We don't have to do anything in angst and anger. Or when Jesus said, be angry and sin not, I don't think we really learn how to do that until we get ready to see him. Because emotionally, we're emotional people. If we're not careful, we'll allow anger to sit at our door like it did Cain, and it'll rule us. I'm learning. When I say, God, I'm letting go, I'm giving it to you. I heard a statement on Saturday, and I'm using it for the rest of my life. A woman was sounding a little razzle-dazzle, frazzled about a situation. And the person who was the tech person, she says, well, I pray wisdom finds them soon. And I said, oh, I'm using that. I ain't going to allow myself. I'm just going to say, Lord, I pray wisdom finds them soon. Yes. And that enough for me. I said, I'm going to get that, put that on my vision board so I remember to say it every time. Because when we understand that I don't have to allow my emotions to dictate my next direction. We talked about that Thursday night with Jacob and Esau. We got to keep ourselves subject to the Word of God. If Christ allowed his emotions to dictate his movement, he wouldn't have went to the cross. Next passage. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, because he is the champion, the author, the finisher of our faith. Look to Jesus. Let go of whatever's holding you back and look to him. Next verse, Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you can't get your thinking right, get in your word and let him make your mind over. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every moment of the day, my mind has to be renewed. It ain't on Tuesday I was renewed. Wednesday, Thursday was a blur. No, I need to be hello, somebody, because the enemy, he's an adversary. He's always fighting against you. He's opposing you. He hates you. You can be redeemed. He can't. You have a home in glory. He doesn't. He ain't your friend. I don't care what lie he done sent your way. Don't believe him. It's death and destruction. So be don't let the mores of this world rule you, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God, I need the mind of Christ. I need to know him. I need to know what he said and what he's called me to do so I can be who he's called me to be. Last verse, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Forgetting those things that are behind you. Oh, God, help us to get holy dementia, holy amnesia. Help us to forget. Hallelujah. Help us to forget. Hallelujah. So we can truly forgive. Help us, Lord God, to forget those things that are behind us. Ain't nothing over in Egypt for you. Ain't nothing better. Only days with Jesus. I don't care how road rough gets, how much tough the going gets, and how hard the heels become. But I tell Camille all the time, I tell myself, oh, keep on going with Jesus. I don't have to go back nowhere. If I'm going back anywhere, I'm going to go back to bed or get on my knees and pray. I will get in front of my Savior because I know that he got something for me. Oh, God, the scripture said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Do you know the joy that's set before you? Do you know the holy land that is coming one day? And it's going to be quicker than we know. Do we know that one day when Jesus cracks the sky for his children to come home, it don't matter about this foolishness. I got glory ahead of me. Not just a land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, God, but even while I'm down here on earth, these present sufferings of this current world are not worthy to be compared to the joy, to the glory that shall be revealed. Can we hold on? Can we stay a little while in his presence? The song said he don't owe us nothing, but can we just get in his presence? And here's the greatest thing in Psalm 16 and 11, where in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. If you get in his presence, oh, God, when the enemy comes in like a flood and tries to mess with your mind, get in his presence. Remember, oh, God, that weapons will form, but they won't prosper. Why? Because he knows the weapon maker. Oh, God, he said that every tongue that rises against you in judgment, he shall condemn. For that's your heritage in him. Do you know the promises he has for you? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Do you know what he said? Get out of Egypt. Get out of Egypt in your mind. Get out of Egypt in your heart and walk into the promised land.
Amen. Egypt behind me, heaven in front of me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember old song say, do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ, God's son? I was sitting over there and I couldn't get that out of my head. Amen. You know, I ain't one for singing, but I got this song down on the inside. See, it's one say, hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. Hold, yes, God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God. Hallelujah. See, some of these old things will keep us going. See, sometimes we just need a yes, Lord, down inside. yes. Sometimes it's just yes. God, I don't know what to do, but yes to your will and yes to your way. See, this is it's a humbling way. It's a beautiful thing to know Jesus. See, sometimes we can't see Jesus because we're too busy, as Camille said, looking behind us. So sometimes we're putting God on the back burner. Well, I'm not quite ready yet. But God is always ready for us. I don't know what it is that we think we can do to be in the right place for God to use us. Only place we need to be is just have yes, Lord, down in our soul. God, I just want to serve you. I just want to live for you, God. I just want to be able to forget those things that are behind and reach forward to the things ahead. God, here I am. Fill my cup, Lord. Here I am standing before you, Lord Jesus. I'm giving my life to you. I got troubles in my life. I got hang-ups and situations, God, and I got a past that bugs me. But God, this day, I want to give my life to you. God, I just want to live for you. I've made shipwreck. You know, Camille has a way of testifying about the family. She's right. I'm so glad I'm not who I used to be. And I know that I didn't have enough sense to get saved. But this God that we serve, he take broken things and put them back together. See, the old nursery rhyme say nobody could put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But I tell you what, the Lord can put him back together again. He'd be like a perfect little egg sitting up there. No more cracks in it. So when do we decide to take God at his word? What am I going to do to serve you? Okay, let me get this straight. Once I quit cursing, once I quit drinking, once I quit smoking, once I get through fornicating, then I'm going to come. No, that's the opposite way. Come as you are. Somebody said, I came to Jesus just as I was, weary, wounded, and sad. But I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, this is the house of the Lord. The Spirit of God rests upon his people, in his people, and in the house of the Lord. This place has been sanctified, set apart for God. This is the place where we can come and not only glorify and worship God, but we can hear from God, and we can make some real decisions in our own life that will affect the rest of our life. Don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. When God speaks to your heart, you need to move. When we don't know, as Camille didn't preach the word, we don't know about tomorrow. We don't know we're going to make it. I got one friend left that was in my phone book to call every week. And now I just have one. I had seven that we would talk. And now all of them are gone. What am I saying to somebody that's young and vibrant, strong, but you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring? Don't know if you're going to be here. God is calling for people now to just trust him, just to serve him, just say, God, use me. That's all. Sometimes we get so technical with God. I don't know. Quit it. Stop it. Get to the end of yourself and just trust this man named Jesus. He'll make it all right. Amen. Amen. So, all right, I better let it go because I got about two or three more songs that's coming up inside. See? and so they might start stopping up there, pass out some headphones, but you know, the old song says, something down inside of me telling me to go ahead. Something down inside of me telling me to go ahead. Something down inside of me telling me to go ahead. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. They get happy and say, Jesus, down. All right, inside of me. But you know what? We got somebody here that can sing, amen. But I praise God for Jesus. I thank God for being free. I thank God that he delivered me. I'm no longer the wretch I used to be, and I'm not where I want to be, but I'm on my way. Praise God. Hey, you say, you the pastor. Yeah, I'm the main one. The first one need to be on his knees. But you the father. I'm the main one who need to be on the crying out to Jesus. But you the husband. You the man of the house. I need to be crying out to Jesus. I can't make it without him. And I'm going to tell you a secret. You can't make it without him. And so whatever you're waiting on for you to make up your mind to serve Jesus, it'll never leave you. Whatever is keeping you back now from saying, Jesus, come into my life, until you make up your mind and decide to follow Jesus, that thing will haunt you for the rest of your life. You'll never make up your mind to come to Jesus. But it takes the surrender. God, I don't know what to do. Where to